is the qalqala midrara. Originally it would have been midrara, but then with the echoing sound with the qalqala, midrara. And the two ras in this word, again, they are the ras of tafkhim, a rounded mouth and a heavy voice.
فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا.
And said, ask forgiveness of your Lord. Indeed, He is ever a perpetual forgiver.
يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا.
He will send rain from the sky upon you in continuing showers.
Let's recite these verses together from verse number 6 onwards. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلم يزدهم دعائي إلا فرارا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا
وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا
وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ جعلوا أصابعهم في آذانهم واستغشوا ثيابهم وأصروا واستكبروا استكبارا
ثم إني دعوتهم جهارا
ثم إني دعوتهم جهارا
ثم إني أعلنت لهم وأسررت لهم إسرارا
ثم إني أعلنت لهم وأسررت لهم إسرارا
فقلت استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا
فقلت استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا
يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا
يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
And that will mark the end of this episode. We recited Surah Nuh from verse number 6 to verse number 11. And we will conclude this episode with the recitation of Salawat on Muhammad and his pure progeny.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به
diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable Discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
A warm welcome to you from Tehran, the lively capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm joining you from the studio with a schedule packed full of powerful stories and deep insights. Whether you're listening at home, at work, or on the go, stay close. Today's programming is crafted with care just for you. Coming up shortly, we will immerse ourselves in the Ocean of Dua, hosted by Sayyid Hassan Mudarrisi. In this program, we reflect on the rich spiritual heritage of the Islamic supplications and ziyara text submitted from the Ahlul Bayt as preserved in dua collections like Mafatihul Jinan. Each episode offers a brief yet meaningful commentary on selected duas and ziyarat, such as Dua Kumail, Munajat Shabaniya, Dua Abu Hamza Thumali, and Ziyarat Ashura. These sacred texts guide the soul toward divine intimacy, moral awareness, and deep reflection, a serene spiritual moment. Then you'll hear a dynamic segment from our radio productions. These are specially curated segments designed to entertain, educate, and inform you, dear listeners, offering you a diverse range of engaging content. Following this, get ready for the Ocean of Dua.
The Ocean of Dua.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith, and all of you who are listening to RIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Ocean of Dua. And this program, we try to discuss the different concepts and meanings and try to interpret the passages of different supplications that have been issued by the Ma'sumin, peace be upon them. We were continuing the discussion on the supplication of Sabah, Dua al-Sabah, and let's listen to one passage of this supplication, and we'll be right back, and we'll talk more about that passage.
Salli Allahumma ala al-dalili ilayka fi al-layli al-aliyal wal-masiki min asbabika بحبل الشرف الأطوال والناصع الحسبي في ذروة الكاهل الأعبال والثابت القدم على زحاليفها في الزمن الأول وعلى آله الأخيار المصطفين الأبرار.
The passage that we just listened to from the supplication of Sabah reads, صَلِ اللَّهُمَّ عَلَى الدَّلِيلِ إِلَيْكَ فِي اللَّيْلِ الْأَلْيَلِ. So far, the reciter of this supplication, who's Imam Ali alayhi salam, was saying, describing Allah in terms of the favors that He has bestowed on us, His creation, His signs, how He has caused the tongue of the morning to be extended so that its speech brightens the whole of earth. And now in this passage, this is where the dua begins. It begins with sending blessings to who? To Prophet Muhammad. His name has not been explicitly mentioned, but we can tell that it's Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Salillahumma ala dalil ilayk fil layl al-alyal. Bless, O Allah, the guide to you in the darkest night. Now, some translators and interpreters of this dua have said that al-layl al-alyal is a reference to the jahiliyyah, the period of ignorance and paganism of the Arabs, where people were in a darkness and they had no idea of who their true creator was, why they were created, who they should worship, whether there's one god or many gods. They didn't know, so they were in utter darkness. And then Allah sent His dalil, His guide, His reason, His proof in the darkest night. And then He lit everywhere. We have in the Quran, Ya ayyuha an-nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira. O Prophet, we have sent you as a shahid, a witness, Mubashir, a person who gives good tidings or good news, wanadhira, and a warner. And then it says, wada'iyan ila Allahi bi'idhnihi wa sirajan munira. So we can make this connection from this passage with this verse, which says, sirajan munira, the Prophet was like a luminous lamp in the darkest night of the Jahiliyyah. Of course, the Jahiliyyah was not confined just to the time of the Arabs. Even before that, a lot of people were in darkness and they didn't know the truth. But that was the one manifestation of Jahiliyyah.
Bless, O Allah, the guide to you in the darkest night, who of your robes clings to the cord of the longest nobility, whose pure lineage evident at the summit of stout shoulders, and whose feet were entrenched in spite of slippery places in ancient times. And bless his household, the good, chosen, and pious.
Thank you, Allah, that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The next passage of Dua al-Sabah reads, وَالْمَاسِكِ مِنْ أَسْبَابِكَ بِحَبْلِ الشَّرَفِ الْأَطْوَلِ الْمَاسِكِ مِنْ أَسْبَابِكَ بِحَبْلِ الشَّرَفِ الْأَطْوَلِ. Who of your ropes clings to the cord of the longest nobility? Again, we have that problem with the translations. The thing is that we have to translate these things literally. But when we do it literally, there is a lot of confusion, and we have to explain how these words relate. And they only work in Arabic. When we like try to translate them, the words don't collocate as well as they do in the Arabic language. It's still describing our Holy Prophet, who of your ropes clings to the cord of the longest nobility. So it's saying that Allah has many ropes, and Prophet Muhammad clings to the cord of the longest nobility. So here he is praising the Prophet Muhammad. And this dua has been issued from Prophet Muhammad, and he has dictated it to Amir al-Mu'mineen, who has then written it down, most probably. And how is it that the Prophet is praising himself in this dua? Well, the Prophet does not speak out of his desire. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. This is a thing that Allah has told him to say. He doesn't say that, "Oh Allah, send blessings on me because I am the most noble creature of yours." He really is the noblest of Allah's creatures. He is teaching us to tawassul, invocate the Prophet, and through him ask Allah to forgive our sins, to grant our wishes, and to cause us to be among the righteous. So when he says the longest rope of nobility, it means that the Prophet is a very noble person, and the path that he follows is the noblest path. Because, you know, a rope is used to save someone, right? We have in the verse, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. It's like we're clinging, we are holding on to the rope of Allah so that we are not misguided and we are not we do not become disunited. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of The Ocean of Dua. Until next time, I leave you in the care and protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah.
It's too late. If you haven't spoken up yet, it might be too late for you. This is your call to say something and not let history judge you for what you should have done.
There once was a day when we were shadows in the street, paper thin excuses crumbling at our feet. Screens glowed brightly, selling fear and doubt. The truth bled quietly, seldom spoken out. But today it's on the news again that the Zionist entity has murdered Palestinians and burned their city. Savagery is in their blood, genocide their game. The world is watching live as they enter the hall of shame. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history. Should have done to save humanity. It's too late.
gives the go-ahead, then it sends in bombs. Israel calls it self-defense and murders without qualms. Since when has killing children become a source of pride? Silence must be broken if you want to turn the tide. It's time we made the right choice, our lives may be on the line. It's time we raised our voice, chanting free, free Palestine. The police can do what they want to do, detain one or two. The thousands of millions are coming through, a move they cannot undo. Don't they see nations waking up? Don't they see people rising up? Don't they see that we won't bow? It's too late to stop us now. It's too late to stop us now. It's too late. Can't you see the land is breaking? It's too late. Can't you see the children dying? It's too late. Let's not be judged by history for what we should have done to save humanity. It's too late. Oh, it's too late. Oh, it's too late. Oh, it's too
Hello everyone, Ali Reza here, back with a brand new episode of Iran Tech. And in this week's episode, we're going to be focusing on what is going on in the bleeding edge of the world of oral and maxillofacial surgeries and the role that prosthetics and implants, more specifically 3D printed custom patient-specific prosthetics, are playing in that realm while being assisted by an actual professional oral and maxillofacial surgeon who's also a university professor. So stay tuned as we get started. Let's go over a few scenarios in which a maxillofacial surgery would be necessary. We of course have congenital defects, defects and malformities in the facial bone structure that may happen at birth. Some parts of the skull may just be entirely missing, which would need to be replaced with an implant, because there's very little you can do with the bone outside of replacing it or taking it out entirely and, again, replacing it with a prosthetic. Then, of course, we have traumatic injuries, injuries that may be caused as a result of an accident, some workplace incidents, or maybe two people just having a fight. A motorbike rider could hit his chin on the ground and break his jaw. And again, you can't do very much with that jaw. You can't really repair it. You must essentially replace it with something like a prosthetic, which we're going to get to. Then, of course, we have certain infections and pathological diseases that could cause erosion in the facial bone structure. We even saw some cases in the post-COVID era, or rather post-patients getting COVID era, where certain infections, certain types of fungi would grow in this area and would cause erosion in the facial bone structure. We have cancer tumors, which are a primary suspect for maxillofacial surgeries. Cancer tumors can completely erode a certain parts of the skull by the cancer tumors growing and replacing those healthy cells. And again, you have to just take out those and the entirety of that cancer tumor and replace it with something. So this is where custom-made 3D printed prosthetics come into play, because we have traditionally been treating these conditions by using off-the-shelf parts most of the time. This is not a new surgical procedure. It's just that now that the modern thing about it is the replacement of off-the-shelf parts with custom printed patient-specific parts that can even replicate the contour of the jaw without too much grinding to make the off-the-shelf part fit the facial structure, the bone structure of the specific patient. So now, let's listen to Dr. Bayot, who's a surgeon performing maxillofacial surgeries on a daily basis. Tell us more about these conditions, and also where Iran is with regards to the bleeding edge of what is going on in the science of maxillofacial surgeries.
We required the fabrication of a custom prosthesis for the patient, which necessitates specific software filters and resources, all of which are now available within Iran's domestic capabilities. This includes a specialized software for virtual design and reconstruction, as well as a trained workforce proficient in using these tools developed through local university research centers. The process relies on advanced 3D printing technology with printers manufactured domestically. For practical models, FDM or resin-based printers are used, while the final medical-grade implants are produced through laser sintering of titanium powder, a technique that ensures biocompatibility. Each prosthesis undergoes rigorous post-processing involving physical and chemical treatments before it is approved for surgery. Furthermore, Iran has developed the capacity to produce patient-specific implants through local knowledge-based companies. The quality of these domestically produced implants matches or exceeds international standards in certain aspects. We are committed to expanding these capabilities and continue to integrate digital surgical guides and 3D printing technologies into standard implant procedures, consistently delivering advanced medical solutions to patients.
Now let's take a closer look at one of these actual implants. There's not too many of them available here because each one of them that is built for a specific procedure, and they're used and they're probably in the patient's face right now, but there are a couple available. So they're made of titanium. They're all custom 3D printed to be patient specific, and they're used in a variety of different oral and maxillofacial surgical procedures. So this one is a mandibular implant. Let's take a look at a couple of the other examples that are used. Let's take a look at a specific model that is used for an orthognathic procedure, which involves cutting the jaw and realigning it for your teeth to align perfectly fine. So this one, you can see that there's a cutting guide for the surgeon, and you may assume that you can just cut anywhere around the jaw to be able to realign it, but no. The cut has to be optimal so as to minimize the potential damage to the patient. Maybe there's a root canal underneath this cut that needs to be avoided. So there is an optimal cut, and using this guide, the surgeon can optimally cut the jaw to be able to realign it. Now, of course, for the realignment itself, there are a couple of other guides which will be used to measure where exactly the jaw needs to be, because these two pieces, which are going to be mounted onto the teeth, how these two pieces are going to align together. This will tell the surgeon where exactly he needs to fit and fix the new jaw alignments. And that fixing is going to be done using these custom plates. There's going to be screws to hold the new place where the jaw is in place. There's, of course, other types of implants that are used with the same procedure. We have the superior stall implants, which are used for patients that cannot take teeth implants like a normal patient. So maybe the bone structure is too weak and cannot hold a tooth. So for them, these superior stall implants are going to provide a placeholder for the tooth implants. And that's where the oral 3D scan, which we're going to be seeing in just a little bit, comes into play. So taking a look at the manufacturing process, there's a couple of prerequisites that need to be checked before we start manufacturing this custom implant, and that is the combination of the 3D imaging capabilities of a CAT scan with this oral 3D scanner. This is not emitting any kind of x-rays or anything like that. It's just like a regular camera that is right here, and it's using a mirror to be able to image the inside of the mouth, and particularly the alignment of the tooth and the gums, because once these implants are made, there are certain holes that need to be put in the implants to very accurately tell the surgeon where the implant tooth is going to be added, because those holes are where the implant's teeth are going to be filled in with. So with that said, now that you've seen this imaging system, of course you're going to see some CAT scans too. Now let's take a closer look at the manufacturing process after the imaging system has been gone through.
Titanium implants have proven so far to be the best type of implant when an implant is necessary in facial reconstruction or cosmetic surgeries. This is due to their strength, biocompatibility, and ability to integrate with bone, or osseointegration. However, like any medical procedure, there can be potential complications or issues associated with titanium implants in the face, but they're not 100% free of risks or complications. The biggest inconvenience is that metal is more sensitive to temperature changes, particularly in cold weather, when you may feel that the implant has gotten way colder than the rest of your body temperature, and you would feel it. Over long periods, the implant may also move a bit and cause asymmetry, as rare as it may be, or put a bit too much pressure on the bones around it, can cause deformation. As rare as both these cases may be, there must be a better way to go about these procedures. What if there was a material that could gradually degrade over time and be replaced by your actual bones? That means it can be metal, with all desirable and not so desirable properties that it brings. This is where we delve into the uncharted territory of bioimplants.
In one of the cases where we used these technologies, the patient had a benign mandibular tumor that needed to be removed. First, we performed a surgery virtually in a virtual space and created the surgical guide. We built the guide for the specific location where the pathological bone needed to be cut. We went into the operating room, installed the guide on the patient's jaw, and made the cut exactly where the bone was to be removed. After this stage, we fixed a custom-made patient-specific plate onto the remaining part of the jaw. Because it had been completely pre-designed, even the holes used for the guide matched the holes for the screws on a final prosthetic plate. It fits into place with 100% accuracy, causing no cosmetic damage to the patient, and the contour and shape of the patient's face and jaw are completely preserved. Following this stage and the installation of the plate, using the scans we had previously taken of the patient's teeth, we 3D printed teeth that were identical to the patient's own and delivered them to the patient in the same session, right in the operating room. This means the patient enters the operating room with a tumor, undergoes surgery and reconstruction, including dental reconstruction. The patient comes in with their teeth and leaves the operating room fully reconstructed, with both bone and teeth restored. This is truly one of the most advanced procedures that can be performed using these technologies.
The implants that were explained, the titanium implants that are now being manufactured as customized and PSI, patient-specific implants, are the latest products currently being used in global markets for patients and have resolved many issues. However, the technology of implants, in terms of materials, is related to second-generation biomaterials, and now third- and fourth-generation materials are also entering the market. These are materials that are biodegradable, and after a certain period, the body decomposes them, allowing natural tissue to replace the materials. The fourth generation even involves the use of living cells or tissues to create materials. Technically, and in terms of using 3D bioprinting technology, we have achieved self-sufficiency in our country, thanks to God, and we are benefiting from the services provided by domestic knowledge-based companies.
The titanium implant that I showed you are considered second-generation implants, the first one being off-the-shelf parts that I mentioned. The third generation is the biodegradable implants that we just talked about. And fourth generation, which is by no means widely used yet, are biomimetic implants. They're still in the research phase, but they essentially involve the same biodegradable implant that we showed you with biomolecules, proteins, or drugs, or other cells that a medical professional may deem to be helpful or necessary for the integration of the implant within the facial structure, to be added within the perforation to create a biomimetic implant. Now, these biomimetic implants could help, like I said, a better, faster integration of the implants within the facial structure, but they are by no means yet financially, or rather commercially available yet. So if that actually starts to develop within this facility, we're definitely going to be coming back to check it out. And with that said, we've come to the end of this episode of Iran Tech. Thank you, guys.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio.
Greetings, dear listeners, from the heart of Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm with you, and we've prepared an inspiring selection of programs. Get comfortable and stay with us. A meaningful broadcast awaits. We begin with the teacher. Our scholars in the studio will present a comprehensive review of key teachings and concepts in the Islamic and Shia theology and ethical systems. After that, we'll feature more from our radio productions. Then it's time for Minbar, delivering profound messages from the pulpit. In this program, we present selected excerpts from the speeches of renowned Islamic scholars, covering a wide range of topics including ethics, theology, Quranic interpretation, Islamic history, and at times, social and political issues. Minbar brings the voices of the pulpit to life. Lifeless words that inspire thought, faith, and action. Next up, we have the teacher. Please stay tuned.
We once had a teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to the program, The Teacher. Please stay with us.
What will we say in front of it?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an analysis on the most important Islamic teachings. I am Atta, the host of this program, Sheikh Danish and Sheikh Fadai. Two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom are in today's studio. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Danish. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum, thank you.
And Sheikh Fadai, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
So, how are you doing, Sheikh Fadai?
Thank you.
And Sheikh Danish, what about you?
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you very much for accepting my invitation. All right, for today's episode of the program, The Future, we want to talk about Al-Baghiyatu Salihat, and that is literally can be translated into English as lasting righteous deeds. This is also a Quranic term, and this refers to the good deeds whose rewards endure in the afterlife. So, we call it baghiyat, those things will remain, salahat, good deeds. In fact, these are the effects that will be lasting, or the positive effects of our good deeds, which will be lasting, inshallah, for our afterlife. All right, so, Sheikh Danish, let's start with you this episode again. So, what is Baghiyatu Salihat? Does it start in this world or no, afterlife? I mean, as soon as we are dead, you know, the counting for the good deeds of, the effects of our good deeds starts when we die. Mm-hmm. Where does it start?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Another Quranic topic, yes. Something that we should pay attention to, inshallah. In our daily lives, is the concept of Baqiyatu Salihat. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, the Holy Quran speaks about this topic in two of the verses of the Holy Quran. This is mentioned. One is the mention in Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 46, where it says that Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Al-Malu wal-Banoon, Zinatul Hayat al-Dunya.
All right.
وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ إِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا. Right? So it speaks about the things that people crave for this world, or they are considered the ornaments of this world. And these are the wealth of a person or the children and his progeny.
Yes.
They are considered the something that people consider as the ornaments of this world. Okay. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the Holy Quran that Baqiyat al-Salihat, those righteous deeds that you perform, are even better in the eyes of Allah. Uh-huh. In the Rabbika, Sawaban, because of the reward that they entail, and also the hope that you should have from these things. So we as human beings have hopes from our wealth that it will come and save us in times of difficulty.
That's right.
We have hope from our children.
Mm-hmm.
But the real hope that we should have as mu'mineen, as believers, is from our good deeds and the righteous deeds. Because this is what takes us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where the real reward lies.
That's right.
And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically changing the perspective of the believers.
Mm-hmm.
That you should have hope from your good deeds.
All right.
You should have a better trust in your good deeds as compared to any other thing that has been given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay. Sheikh Fadai, what about Quranic ayahs and references? Is this term, Baghiyatu Salihat, the very word, I mean this term, is mentioned in the Holy Quran or not? And if yes, what does it mean over there?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We have different verses for this phenomenon, Baghiyatu Salihat, or this meaning,
yes,
this issue. Some of the verses mention the word exactly, Baghiyatu Salihat, as my brother recited the verse. And some other verses, you cannot find the word Baghiyatu Salihat, but you can find explanation about that. That what is the philosophy of Baghiyatu Salihat? What should we have this kinds of action in order to help us in the other world? I want to recite another word without the literal noticing the word of Baghiyatu Salihat. We have in Surah Mu'minun, verse 99 and 100, حتى إذا جاء أحدهم الموت قال رب ارجعون. When the angel of death comes to the one to take the soul, they call the angel and ask the angel, let us get back.
Mm-hmm.
Give us the permission to
get back to
get
life.
Back to the life. لعلي أعمل صالحاً.
Mm-hmm.
In order to do some صالح deed,
means
good, righteous deed. That is بغيات الصلاة.
All right.
فيما تركت. The deeds that I didn't do,
uh-huh.
The action that I forgot to do.
That's right.
I missed.
That's right.
And what is the answer? The answer is that كلّا, no. إنها كلمة هو قائلها. It's just the word that you're talking. You're just talking. You're not the man of action.
Mm-hmm.
You could do, you had the opportunity to do صالح action, righteous deed. But now you just want to find excuses. وَمِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ بَرْزَخٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. And the other stage, the next stage, is the barzakh, barzakhi hayat,
all right.
Which is a kind of hell or heaven in barzakh, and then uh-huh. In the real hell. So, you know, this salih, salihat amalu salih, or righteous deed, is something that we wish, if only I did that. So we can do that here.
All
when
right.
We are alive. We have a hadith interpreting this verse that the imam said, من سن سنة حسنة عمل بها من بعده كان له أجره ومثل أجورهم من غير أن ينقص من أجورهم شيئا. If you make and create some good tradition that people act according to that tradition, mm-hmm. A custom, a tradition,
yes.
That people act. For example, like we call it today, a mode, a fashion.
All right.
Anyway, a good one,
uh-huh.
That people act according to that, God will give you the reward, sawab, and all the people
uh-huh.
Without decreasing from your sawab.
That's right.
وَمَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً فَعُمِلَ بِهَا بَعْدَهُ كَانَ عَلَيْهِ وِزْرُهُ وَمِثْلَ أَوْزَارِهِ مِنْ غَيْرَ أَنْ يَنْقُصَ شَيْئًا مِنْ عَجْزِهِ. And if you create and make and institute
uh-huh.
A bad custom or tradition, a bad fashion,
all right.
And people act according to that,
uh-huh.
You will have all the sins of people without decreasing from yours or theirs.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are dead, not just, but we have, you know, what is the adjective? Baghiyatus salihat.
I know what you mean.
The one that we put here after ourselves.
Yes.
That which is good one.
Which is
what
good
does
ones.
It mean? It means that we have baghiyatul qayr salihat.
Qayr salihat.
Something
too,
that
why.
We keep here, but it is not good one.
Mm-hmm.
Let me clarify that. With
you mean
an example.
The evil deeds can be remaining to you.
People are acting according
and acting
to that.
That's right.
For example, if someone is in a jail, he himself cannot do anything to free himself,
yes,
to save himself. But if he has some good relatives out of the jail,
yes,
they can help him, for
very
example,
okay,
to give money for his death.
Okay, that's right.
You know, death is like that. When we die, our profile of action is closed.
Uh-huh.
We cannot do any action.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have some baghiyatu salah here,
yes,
it means something that is working,
yes,
in that world.
All right.
I'm not in that world.
And in our remembrance.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
For example, I have a good children. I make
charity making, you know. Or for example, some people are after holding some majalis for Imam al-Hussein, you know. And, you know, for example, in their last will and testament, they write down that all the money that is, for example, out of my factory or company or this or that must be spent, some of that, half of that or something, for Imam al-Hussein's majalis, okay? So, I mean, we are dead. But as you said, the institution, the foundation that we created in this world, it could be small, it could be big, okay?
IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
We But Sheikh Danish, before getting to Sheikh Fadai and the Hadith, you know, I'll be happy with you to talk a little bit more about for us about Baghiyatu Salihat exactly. Okay, what is it exactly? What to do in order to have the good effects of some righteous deeds? Because, you know, we do our obligations, we do salah, we fasting, okay? But when we are dead, for sure we cannot do that. But it seems that there are some deeds that continue, okay? They are not salah, they are not fasting, they are not hajj, they are not pilgrimage to Karbala or something, but their effects are going to be continued, and this is really outstanding.
Yes, so as we studied from the verses of the Holy Quran, the traditions of the Holy Prophet that my friend will also mention, we see that one of the meanings of Baqiyat Salihat is what the Mufassireen or the Ulama of the Holy Quran mention, or in the verses of the Holy Quran, the verse that was cited, Surah Kehf, verse number 46, it says, all the good deeds of a person are Baqiyat Salihat, right? So from the Quranic concept, we get this concept that everything that you do is according to the wajibat, staying away from the muharramat is Baqiyat Salihat. But in the concept that has grown in the minds of people regarding Baqiyat Salihat, and even some scholars of Akhlaq and some of the other scholars have also mentioned this, that those things that even after your death, their reward will reach you. Mm-hmm. And it has been mentioned that there are certain things, for example, waqf, that you put something in trust, or put a holy Quran as a trust in the mosque near your place. Yes. And everybody who reads it and benefits from that holy Quran, that reward will also reach you, even after your death, right? This is the concept of sadaqa jariya, right? So if you write something about aqaid...
Well, we can find some papers or books, we can say the shortened Quran or something like that, or
and
the
even about a concept and belief, even this program, right?
Okay.
This
inshallah.
Program that we are doing, inshallah, millions and millions of people are going to listen to this, inshallah, the future, and benefit from it. Mm-hmm. So even after the death of a person, this is going to benefit them. This is the concept that has grown in the minds of ordinary people. Mm-hmm. But as we see that there are two sorts of concepts that we are playing here with. One is the concept of the Holy Quran, that everything, every good deed that you perform is near Allah. It is saved, and you will see the effects of it on the Day of Judgment and in the future. But sadaqa jariya and all those things that bring sadaqa jariya is also considered baqiyat salah.
That's right. Okay, that's it. Even building, for example, a hospital or a clinic, okay? For example, in the holy city of Qom, there are some centers.
Yeah.
For example, Ayatollah Golpaygani Hospital, okay? So, or for example, Baqiyat Allah Clinic, okay, after the late Sheikh Mirza Jawad Tabrizi, okay? So these were the donators, you know, who donated some parts of the alms or some parts of the donations coming to their offices. Or we can say there are also so many other people, good people, benevolent people who give charity, found a school or hospital or something like that, so that the future generation might benefit. All right, let's now get to your hadith and seven important tips for Baghiyat Salah, Sheikh Fadai.
Yes. Before reciting this hadith, I want to explain more about what you said.
All
right. You said that to making a hospital, building a clinic.
All right.
You know, we have our wealth in this world in order to benefit from our wealth.
Yes.
But I don't know whether you heard or not, in the ancient Egyptian civilization, the kings and pharaohs were used to be buried by the gold.
Yeah, they used to build their wealth with themselves. That's right.
They imagined, they believed that they could take their wealth to the other world.
Uh-huh.
But
that was their Baghiyat Salah. Okay.
You know, it's a kind of joke.
All right.
But I want to say that it is possible to take your wealth to the other world. How? When you spend that wealth on Baghiyat Salah, you are taking your wealth to the other world.
Mm-hmm.
But when you spend it for yourself, for your joy, you are just destroying that wealth. Because you are eternal being. You are spending your wealth for just 70 or 80 years old, and you don't leave anything for that millions of years of age after your death.
Mm-hmm.
So let's leave something after our death in order to use. Let's take our wealth to the other world.
Okay.
For example, the hadith that I wanted to mention from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, سَبْعَةُ أَسْبَابٍ يُكْتَبُ لِلْعَابِ سَوَابُهَا بَعْدَ وَفَاتِهِ. There are seven things that God will give you reward even after your death. The first one, رَجُلٌ غَرَسَ نَخْلًا, planting a tree. It is mentioned nakhl, palm, but it's not just
a palm tree, that's
restricted
right.
to palm.
Any greenery.
Yes.
Okay, that's right.
Planting a green area or trees so people can use it.
Can benefit, that's right.
أَوْ حَفَرَ بِئْرًا أَوْ أَجْرَ نَهْرًا, digging a well or a spring, or
spring
making
water,
some
right.
kind of river so people can use the water.
Very good.
Or بَنَا مَسْجِدًا, building a mosque so people can worship in that.
Very good.
أَوْ كَتَبَ مُصْحَفًا, writing a book, a useful book, a beneficial one.
That's right.
You know, nowadays we have article, books, I don't know, encyclopedia, all of them are the examples of this.
Okay, but the good ones, you mean?
The good ones.
That's right. Okay.
The beneficial ones.
That's for the people.
I write a book or article or make a site, make an encyclopedia so people can benefit from that.
Very good.
The one is dead, but people are using that site or that book or that article. You can take their thawab. أَوَرَّثَ عِلْمًا, leave a science as your legacy.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a scientist, like, for example, Martyr Fakhrizadeh, Shahid Fakhrizadeh,
yes.
we had in yes. our nuclear science. He was a scientist, and now we are benefiting his science
yes.
as a kind of legacy, scientific legacy.
Shahid Tehrani Moghaddam, yes. the fighter of the missile defense in Iran,
so,
that's right. Okay.
Scientific legacy. You know, now look at our prophet.
Uh-huh.
14 centuries ago,
yes.
talking about scientific legacy.
All right.
أَوْ خَلَّفَ وَلَدًا صَالِحًا يَسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُ بَعْدَ وَفَاتِهِ. Leave a good child after your death who do istighfar for you by the word or by the action.
Very good.
When my child leaves after me, by his good actions or her good actions, people will pray for me. People will pray for the fathers and mothers. What a good child they trained, that we are benefiting his action. So these are Baqiyatul Salat, the main examples of Baqiyat. So it is easy for us. We can take our wealth, take our action to the other world. But now, in the other world, we cannot act.
That's right.
But we cannot benefit from our previous actions.
Okay, that's right. Holding majalis for Imam Hussein alayhi salam is another one. You know, there are so many people who we can't say give donations, building stations or mawaqif, for example, in the Arba'in Walk. There are so many people in Iraq now, okay, or from other countries, okay, who order the children after their death, you know, you have to continue the path of your father, okay? And this is the path of the fathers and the mothers to be continued. Holding majalis for the Aimas and Imam al-Hussein.
Can I add a point, short
okay.
point?
Okay, you know, short point, that's
let's
right.
think about the opposite side.
Uh-huh.
Not to make a wrong mode and fashion for people.
Yes.
So the scene will get us in the other world.
I know what
world.
You mean,
you know,
yes.
Nowadays in social media.
Media, that's right.
You know, people make lots of wrong
actions,
modes and fashions
right.
that people follow
okay.
that wrong action even
right.
when the one is dead.
Mm-hmm.
It is the opposite side that we should be careful
yeah.
about that.
Okay. So that's right. We can't say innovating or creating a wrong action among the people to be continued and followed up by the future generation, you know, unfortunately, will add to your evil deeds in the other world. So let's add to our good deeds, inshallah, by doing good deeds in this world and continue it in the other world. Sheikh Fadai, thank you very much. And Sheikh Danish, thank you very much for your elaboration on the concept of Baqiyatul Salihat and positive effects that remain after our good deeds in the afterlife. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website, iranradio.ir. Also send us your questions and comments at iranradio@sinairib.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.